It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mic, Camera, Action.
We're rocking and rolling.
When are we not ready to rock and roll? We were born ready, Dan. Wow, born in the USA. I'm feeling Bruce right now.
Yeah, I'm not a rock and roll kind of guy.
I'm obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. But anyway, I digress.
A child of
the
rock and roll era.
Let's talk about, Dan, let's talk about everyone today. Everyone and
everything. Let's
talk
everything. About everyone. Oh my, this sounds like a gossip show.
In the next 25 minutes, we're going to talk about... No, here's what we should talk about, Dan.
Yes.
We're going to talk about every person who's listening to this podcast right now, whether they are in media or not, or not yet.
Yeah.
How can they utilize the fabulous skill set that someone like you has as a very accomplished broadcasting professional?
Yeah.
Well, if I'm an accountant, if I'm a doctor, if I'm a lawyer,
yeah,
if I'm a homemaker, why should I know some of that skill set?
Well, I'm not gonna give those secrets away, because then somebody else will come and take my job.
Evil.
So
pure evil.
Why do I want to help out an accountant? An accountant should be helping me out, keeping me away from the IRS.
Hey,
that's what
listen,
an accountant is for.
You're gonna really need that accountant. You better help them out.
I'm glad you came up with this topic, because there are it's sort of a two-way street. There are a lot of things that people in the media, there's skills that we all have that can translate into other things. But there are also a lot of skills that we have that could be very useful for people in other professions, whether it's teachers or accountants. And I think it's even more so now, because what we hear every day one of my companies, it's producing videos for mm-hmm. companies out there, corporations, is mm-hmm. we want content. I almost feel right. as if it's there's zombies going down the street. I'm hearing mm-hmm. the Michael Jackson song happening, mm-hmm. Thriller, and they're all making their moves going down the street, but they're saying content, dun 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 dun, content, dun
right.
dun dun dun.
Brandon. right, I have to ask Brandon at this point, what is his favorite zombie show?
I don't watch The Walking Dead.
Why not?
I stopped watching after the third season, and I just...
But that's the average corporate person, The Walking Dead. You have to watch that. I'm just joking. I love The Walking Dead, and I love my corporate professionals. But
wow, I love these... I love
but
these
really
little
can.
Side roads that we go down.
Don't
you know,
you
it's
love
like
them?
It's amazing. It's
but
like taking
digress.
A drive through the country, and oh, look, there are flowers. Let's go pick some flowers, and you drive.
But I don't know if the listeners realize right now we are completely riffing. We're improvising.
Yes.
We are doing this impromptu. There is not a piece of paper in front of me.
That's
well, there
right.
is in front of you, Dan, because you're
exactly.
just not as skilled
but
as
I'm playing tic tac toe, so that's fine.
You can keep up with me. It's all right. But the reality is, no, seriously, if we go through 20 or 25 minutes of this nonstop straight through, is that not something, a real skill that a business professional could use?
Wow, man, I like how you tied that all together.
I'm exhausted.
Wow, you're
I
the
need
queen
a coffee
of
break
the
now.
Segue. I mean, that's just amazing.
Like that's her job.
That's her job.
It is my job. Thinking but fast on your feet.
You're right.
Right,
no,
Dan,
you're right.
You're great
and
at
it
that.
Is. And I think, you know, part of it's really hard to give the advice of, you know, this is how you do it, and then you're going to go out there and do it tomorrow. Because part of what we're able to do here comes from years and years of experience. We get very comfortable mm-hmm. gabbing sometimes mm-hmm. too much. Mm-hmm. And there's an art to thinking ahead before you get there. So okay. as words are coming out of your mouth, you're also thinking about, what am I going to say next? That's something you get comfortable with when you've been doing it for, you know,
so Dan,
a long time. But,
so can I sum that up?
Yes.
So there is absolutely no hope for the common person
who is not you. And you heard I said but, right? So it always happens.
Caveat
you say da 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 da
but
And so that is where you now can start listening.
Yes.
But I
and he said it twice. But, okay.
That's the emphasis, right? Ooh. But I think, let's say it's someone who is an accountant who has mm-hmm. to do, at the last moment, they're asked to give a speech about something. Mm-hmm. Just, hey, Mr. Jones, come up and talk to us about what you have, your life and mm-hmm. your career trajectory and empower us to be better accountants. And I think the main thing that I've always relied on is you have to be prepared for these moments. It doesn't just happen. We didn't sit down here and at least we had a conversation. We may not have mm-hmm. put an outline together, mm-hmm. but I've always found that if you are prepared with three things to talk about, then you at least have thought about it. When someone calls mm-hmm. on you to stand up and hey, Mr. Mm-hmm. Jones, I remember I went to Cuba almost a year ago. And when I came back, at the end of our church service, our pastor knew that I had just returned from Cuba. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, Dan, why don't you just come up here and tell us about your, spend the next 10 minutes talking about, whoa. And I'm like,
were you
oh my
floored
goodness.
Or were you okay with that?
So for the record, mm-hmm. I get nervous when I have to plan ahead.
Wow.
For
everyone
something
write
like that.
That down,
right.
Please.
So, but when he called on me at that moment, what do you have to do? You have to stand up there and do it. But I've done this for so long that I sort of in my mind thought about three things. I wanted to talk about the past, mm-hmm. like what happened in Cuba in the past. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about what is happening now in the present, some of the things that I observed. And then I wanted to talk about what is going to happen in the future. We heard at the time Cuba was still very much closed. I mean, it's not completely open now, but we've seen what has happened recently.
Sure.
And so
sure.
I, right away, as I was walking from my seat to the 10 mm-hmm. steps to get behind the microphone, mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to talk about past, present, and future.
Beautiful.
So that's a technique that I think you can
beautiful.
Talk. And the past is very easy. Mm-hmm. It's talk about how you got in the business, mm-hmm. right? An accountant gets up, look, this is how I got my passion for accounting. You know, I used to watch my dad or my grandfather, or I saw a TV show of an accountant, and that's mm-hmm. how I got my connection. And then you mm-hmm. talk about the present, and one of the things that's very easy for everyone to talk about are challenges.
Mm.
You know, here are some problems. Mm-hmm. The big problem that I have found is X. You know, people get their taxes in late, whatever it might be. And then the future is there are some things that are being done that the government's working on that's going to make it easier. Every time around accounting season, the tax season, my accountant will send something out. Like,
right,
something
right,
new is on the right, horizon. You be
right.
aware of this, right?
So for the people listening, then three is the magic number.
It is,
that
yeah.
That is very Schoolhouse Rock of you to bring that up. Three is the magic number, and it truly is, right? According
it
to
is.
Aristotle, it is a perfect story, a beginning, a middle, and an end,
exactly.
right? Comedies written in three, tragedies written in three.
Exactly.
There's a lot of formulas mathematically written in three that our brain can pick up and really remember. That's awesome.
That is, and it's a technique I think will work every time. So, you know, if someone calls on you at the last moment, mm-hmm. You can stand up and give a pretty coherent speech or give some remarks. And I think people, you know, they'll get nervous if they have to remember a script sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if you right. write it down, and that's when they start messing up. But I think if you just walked up to someone on the street and you say, tell me about your upbringing, mm-hmm. tell me what got you into the industry, people would be mm-hmm. able to communicate that pretty easily. And so if you can translate that little media trick to whether you're an accountant or whatever it may be, I think that can
that's
help
fantastic.
You in those kinds of situations.
Yeah, I'd like to piggyback on that one and say detail.
Ah,
right? How many yeah. of us kind of whitewash over very generically, very universally when we're asked a question, give a very kind of vague response? And our imagination, our minds really think in detail. We really think in color.
Exactly.
Right?
No,
so
you're right.
You don't have to give a lot. We just finished a podcast. We were talking about less is more. Less is more. But what you're giving needs to be specificity and detail.
Exactly.
Not
yeah.
generic thoughts and generic ideas, because none of us really consider ourselves in that way, except for Brendan. Brendan considers himself generically just the guy.
He's a generalist.
Right? He's just a guy, right?
My middle name, Brendan.
Generic, right.
Right, exactly.
Master G.
But if you're not Brendan, you got to think about what makes you you. I once worked with a recruiter that put this so artfully, you know, this headhunter said, I said, how do you find someone, you know, in the industry that you're working in a job, right? Mm-hmm. They said, well, I need to work with people who can articulate what makes them artful. and unique.
Wow. Wow.
Right? Not what is on their resume. I got that.
Right.
Not what is what they sent me via email. I got it. But can you articulate what makes you you?
Wow.
And can you do it in, you know, like
3 seconds?
Yeah, 3 seconds. You know, in a few minutes versus taking an hour to tell me your whole life story.
So be specific. Have 3 points ready, right? Mm-hmm. If you're called. And the other, you know, this sort of ties into one of my sort of the first part of the 3.1, where is talking about something that happened in the past, but always have a story ready. Mm-hmm. My dad was great at this. He actually goes overboard on this. My dad has a story for everything, right? So if you go out to a dinner, somebody says, start singing a song about the blues. Oh, I remember when. And then 3 hours later, he finishes his story about the blues. But I say that to say this. If you always have a story in your back pocket, then you can tell that story. And not only will that allow you to fill dead air,
right,
or to, you know, fill in for someone at a convention or wherever it might be, but it also puts everyone at ease. You know, great stories are not even a great story, but just a story. You tell a story, it puts everyone at ease. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many audiences walk away from a presentation and they forget everything that was said up there when someone was getting very technical about something. But they'll say, oh, man, that story that person told, you know, that really, I get it. You know, that means a lot to me.
Or they connected with it. They could empathize with it. They could see themselves in that moment with that person.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that's lasting. In business, you know, they call it the takeaway. What is the takeaway from that presentation or from that speech? I have to be able to say that in a sentence.
Exactly.
Or so.
And I think that's important. So always have that story. So that's, you know, those are some tips that you can learn from media folks. But I think even beyond just sort of getting tips to enhance your personal presentation, there are a lot of interesting things that you can learn from media types, because your companies now are not just relying on people like me or others who are producing videos for their websites, but they are calling on some of their own people to produce some of the content, you know, whether it's video and so forth. And so what are you doing, you know, what are you doing to sort of retrain yourself? Because before, a PR person, you know, had to know how to do press releases. Mm-hmm. But no longer is that your only qualification. You have to learn more than that. I did a presentation at the University of Tennessee about to a PR class. And the whole notion of just writing a press release, they were going through that. And I said, that's wonderful. You still have to put press releases out there. But that's not really what gets people's attention anymore.
Right, right.
You know, you have to produce little videos and you have to write stories and you have to tell all these other things.
You have to be ready to go.
You have to be ready to go.
You have to be ready to go.
Right. And so let's say you're an old school PR person and working at a company, you know, think about ways to tell stories, or, you know, look at a lot of the videos that are out there now. Merrill Lynch has a great one where instead of telling you, come on and buy our product, they are telling you a story of a family that is just, you know, living in the suburbs and life is great. And at the very end, the reason their life is great because they've relied on Merrill Lynch, you know?
And I thought you brought up a really great point earlier about what I humorously call Jim in Cubicle C. Jim in Cubicle C really is called upon by his company to do a ton of stuff.
Yes.
And sometimes Jim in Cubicle C doesn't know how to.
Exactly.
Doesn't want to. They don't want to do a voiceover. They don't know how to produce a video. They're not sure how to be on camera.
Right.
And yet they are called upon for those quick media skills. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes not even paid extra for that. It becomes part of the job description. But you brought up a really brilliant point, and that is thinking fast on your feet and being ready to go is really somewhat rehearsed.
Right.
It's like the great improvisation troops. You know, one of my favorite ones is the BBC improv troupe out of London. You know, they've been working together for 20 years and they've been rehearsing together for 20 years. It sounds like a contradiction in terms, but they have to know what is their strong suit.
Right.
They have to rehearse, you know, politics and religion and humorous content and be able to move quickly with each other. It's not something that they can just show up and do.
That's right.
Have to really practice that.
You're right.
That was a great point, Dan.
And if you're sitting there listening to this podcast and saying, shut up, I'm just going to keep doing my job the way that I do it, and my boss comes to me and says, we need you to do more of this, I'll say, go take a hike. Well, you know what will happen?
Wow, Dan's getting passionate here. Woo, my goodness.
Well, what would happen is your boss would just help you clean out your desk, because there are about 20 other young people out there who will walk in the door and do all of this stuff for less money.
Right.
And so you have to move and morph with the times, or you'll get left behind. I mean, that's just the reality.
No question about it. And I think there's always what I call the fun factor that's left out. The fun factor of being able to present, being able to speak, being able to perform. So many people dread it, really hate it. They're terrified of it in any way. And I mean, not to get too deep, but let's be honest.
Go deep, sister.
Here I go. Most people around the world, for whatever reason, are not allowed to do that.
Wow. Okay? And what do you mean by that?
Meaning, whether it's political oppression, gender oppression, cultural oppression, they're not allowed to stand up and do a podcast of what we're doing right now. So there's kind of a thankfulness, an appreciation, a joy about telling a story and having the audience go, yeah, thank you for saying that. That made my life a little different.
Right.
That made me feel something. That made me, versus not having heard that story.
Oh, man. So
wow,
man, media training.
Free song right there, right in the back
patriotism.
Of your neck. But that's the truth,
yeah,
isn't
it?
They're
going to have to pay extra for the patriotic plug that you just
put. You don't have to be a performer to really appreciate expression
and
communication.
That's so
true. And just get real about it. You know, we all have to do it. Do it to the best of your ability, but really appreciate doing it, because so many people can't.
Wow. Powerful stuff. Okay, so we've been looking at this from Mr. Man in Cubicle C. What did you call him?
Jim in Cubicle C.
Yeah,
a little
C.
office reference there for my office fans. A little Jim in Cubicle C.
By the way, I hate cubicles. I don't know.
I know.
Either give me the open space, you know, sort of the high-tech company would just or give me my own office, but I don't want a cubicle.
I know. You want to knock them down.
Yeah.
Don't you? Just punch them down.
Do it. Go all the way, but in the middle, lukewarm just doesn't work for me. But
I agree.
So now from the other side, so let's say you're in the media industry and you're thinking, okay, I've been a reporter or I was doing voiceover for all this time, and maybe you've lost your job. Maybe things just aren't moving the way that maybe you want to make a little extra money. I think a lot of people are sitting there in the job, the media job that they've been doing for years, and they don't realize that some of those skills can be transferred into many other ways of making good money.
I think this is a connect the dots moment, Dan.
Oh,
take it away.
I think we need music here. So
that's the best we can do on a low budget. Let's connect the dots,
that's
Dan.
That's connect the dots, yeah.
I love it.
Well, you know, it came to me the other day that as I was going through my LinkedIn profile, I rarely do that. I updated my iPad to where now it's a new LinkedIn that I don't even recognize. Different colors and weird stuff pops up everywhere. One of the things that was just popping up everywhere was, oh, here are all the people that you have worked with or you met on the street at a phone booth or whatever it is.
Right.
And
the meaningful people
the
in
meaningful
your life.
People, yeah.
The ones
some
you know
them,
their name.
Yeah,
and would...
exactly. The ones you got in an accident, ran over, those who you had a fight with. You know, it's amazing. It went back to those the people who I pull their hair and on the bus in school. It's like,
the
how did they find
cut
these
line
things?
In cutting the post office.
Oh, it's amazing. It was even the desk clerk at American Airlines who I told off one time. She was there. Somehow they got this all in LinkedIn. So it was shocking when I saw this. But no, to be get back to the real sort of serious part of this, if we can even do that, was the fact that I saw a lot of people who I had worked with who were now, they either got laid off or they decided to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all these amazing things using the skills that they always had. And a lot of reporters will say, well, I know how to report. What else can I do? If I got laid off from this, I don't know what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, and we talked about this, being a consultant. And that sounds sort of a wide, sort of throwaway thing. But there's a real need, sort of buttoning this all up to what we were talking about before. Companies are looking for people who can tell stories, and there's so many things that you can do as a consultant to help these companies move in that direction.
Right, exactly. When you're out of work, consult. Just kidding. But seriously, I mean, you're right. And a lot of folks coming out of the broadcasting field and the performance fields are becoming teachers, professors, right. consultants. They're opening companies. Right. And they're really taking that knowledge base. And they're right. really passing it on to populations of people that may never be performers. I mean, let's right. be honest. They're not, you know, many of the folks that we work may never become professional actors, but I know they're going to take those skills and they're going to utilize it in the next thing that they do.
Right.
Right. Right. We were talking earlier about the lawyer, the trial attorney. I mean, of course, what better, you know, skill set to have than an actor skill set when you're in front of a jury trying to persuade, you know, that your client is innocent.
Right. So you right? can consult with lawyers to help them make better presentations.
Right.
You know?
What about a doctor? I mean, all of my doctor friends out there who are listening in, you have to be able to tell stories and be careful of your audience. You have to be sensitive. Is it a good story or a bad story?
Right, right.
You're delivering news.
And you know, I was right? surprised. I consulted with a startup. And they were trying to, it was a complicated piece of technology that they had. And when I looked at all the materials, I said, oh, well, that's great if an engineer is reading this. Mm-hmm. But the average person's going to look at that and say, what are you talking about? And they go, right. well, what do you mean? I mean, we all understand what that means. And I said, yeah, but the general population, they'll look at that and they won't get it. Right. And so I said, why don't you say this? And they go, well, how did you know how to do that? I said, well, I've spent my entire life thinking in sound bites. And again, I didn't think that I had the skills to be a consultant for startups. Mm-hmm. But yet I was able to look at all the stuff. And I really, frankly, didn't have to know all of the specifics of what the company was doing. But I knew enough to understand what they hoped to accomplish. And I could say it in English because that's what I've done all of my life. And the other point, too, is that I was... I'm recently been in discussions with a company that has absolutely nothing to do with anything I've ever done before, mm-hmm. but they've come to me and they'd like me to be on their board. And I have a little bit of business background, but I'm not your typical board member of a big company. And they said, we want someone in the room who understands media so that when people are sitting there talking about all this stuff, we can turn to you and say, Dan, how do you think this will play? As a reporter, how would you go after this story? We think this mm-hmm. is safe. Is are we right or are we wrong? And I can say, look, I've seen a million of these come in that way, and we jumped all over. We tore it apart. In order to protect yourself, inoculate yourself against mm-hmm. criticism, this right. is how you need to do it. And so there's all these skills. Again, when you're there busy doing your 9 to 5 or right. however many overtime hours you put in, you're not thinking about how some of your skills will...
But they needed your skill set in interpreting that story
exactly.
for their industry. So
exactly.
you're not only an interpreter, you're a translator, you're someone who delivers the message, you're someone, yep. right? So there, you play many roles in taking it from the actual thing, the event, the story, the coverage, to the audience.
Right.
Right. right. There's many channels that you're going through to do that. When I was an executive coach... I was an executive coach for 4 wow. years. And when I was an executive coach, boy, was that a learning.
You said executive a lot. Were you trying executive. To emphasize there that you were executive?
I was an executive coach. Did I tell
wow.
you that, Dan?
Did you have like a big E on a super cape kind of thing?
I did. It was a totally big E. But I will be honest with you. I walked in and I did not know what I was doing. I said, I am in the wrong place. Not only did I come from an academic background, but I came from a theater background. I said, what am I doing here about to, you know, coach people at Bain Capital, wow. coach people at Fidelity? What is going on? I'll tell you what my mentor said to me. They said, hold on, sister. Number one, stop talking. Just listen.
Yeah.
If you listen, you're going to get, as a consultant, of course, we called ourselves coaches, but we were consultants, no doubt about it. You're going to get everything you need to know about that client and how you can help them. And number two, you have to understand your value because what you have is valuable to them. You don't have to know their industry in
exactly.
and out. You just have to know their problem so you can solve it, right? And that was brilliant. I mean, for me personally, that was a transition from the worlds that I had come from into that corporate world and that real corporate world of understanding that having a media background, having a live theater background was of tremendous value to these people in how they communicated, how they were setting themselves up to make more money and get promotions,
right.
and how they were feeling about themselves. Because I did find so many executives, there I said it again, Brendan. It's like,
we need executive
it's like
music.
The word trick for you. I'm just keep saying it over and over
again. I should
again.
Be counting.
Maybe
Let
it'll go away
list,
over time. But I did find a lot of executives lacked confidence.
Right.
Really lacked
and
self-esteem
you were able to help them with
and
that.
Being heard, having their thoughts heard, having their ideas heard. So, you know, back to what we were saying, how valuable these skills are to everyone in every industry.
Exactly. I found it was interesting that you could just say Bain Capital, and we just assume that everyone knows what Bain. And you know what? People do because of Mitt Romney.
Because of Mitt Romney,
thought about that. And then now that started leading me down this political road of all the Bain Capital stories that were told during that
era.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's another podcast altogether.
I'll spare people the whole Bain Capital. There was also a Saturday Night Live skit. So since we're talking about media, there was a wonderful one about Bain Capital. Google Bain Capital Saturday Night Live. I won't tell you all it did. That's the big teaser. It's really, really funny. Or if you work for Bain Capital, it's not. What'd you say, friend? Exactly. Homework assignment. Yeah. Check it out. I think you'll get a good laugh.
We used to call that pre-work. Pre-work. We wouldn't use the word homework. It was pre-work.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I hope that we've been helpful.
What have we come to here, Dan? Well, what does it all mean?
I think what it means is when you are in your career, let's say on the media side, don't work with blinders. Mm-hmm. Always expose yourself to a lot of different things out there so that when it comes time to make that step into something else, you can be ready. Make contacts. You know, talk to consultants, talk to companies, and get a feel for what else is out there. It's not that you necessarily need it now, but if you decide to make that move, you can realize, wow, my skills can stretch into these other areas. If you're on the business side, I think it's wonderful for you to empower your employees to you know, sort of expand the roles. I think that's great. But I think those employees can then look to people in the media and to learn some tricks. There we go. To go into our toolbox.
That was number 10.
That's right. Go
no
into
one's
our
counting,
toolbox.
But that was number 10.
By the way, for those of you who have been following us or not following us over time, I use the word trick a lot. And so there's this running clock counting how many times I say that. So when this this is your first time and you're, what is all this trick? Just listen to some of our other podcasts and you'll find out.
And be ready to go. Bring your history to the table, be specific, and be ready to go and relish the moment.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?